The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Samuel Issa
and Doreen Ampofu.
In the headlines, government to set up citizens' complaint centers nationwide to receive reports from the public. Load Shedding Committee briefs media today on state of power management and challenges. Media expert commends President Mahama's performance at interaction on governance. UNICEF concerned about number of South Sudan's children out of school. And President Barack Obama defends legacy in final State of the Union address. The news in detail. President John Mahama has announced the setting up of citizens' complaint centers across the country. This is to enable government to respond promptly to citizens' concern and also get first-hand information on critical national crimes. President Mahama mentioned this novel program when he interacted with journalists at Flagstaff House in Accra. He said the centers will be manned by national service personnel. Pascalina Dadevo reports.
President Mahama briefly hinted on a novelty that will feature in his State of the Nation's address to Parliament soon. It is the setting up of citizens' complaints centers across the country.
The kingdom of citizens is below the politician, and we all know what happens in places. You take your document and they say you have to put some weight on it, you know. And so these are things that we know happen every day. And we must have the political will to expose it and deal with it. And so one of the initiatives I'm going to announce in the State of the Nation address is citizens' complaint centers, where a citizen can walk in and make a complaint about somebody who's either, you know, taking a bribe from him or has abused his office in a certain way. And these citizens' complaint centers are going to be put at strategic places, and they will take your complaints, and we will take your phone number. The complaints will be investigated very quickly, and you will get a response, you know, to what the complaint has been.
The arrival of the two Guantanamo Bay detainees in the country featured strongly during the news conference. One other issue that received similar bashing from the public last year was government's decision to make Accra the staging point for the Ebola containment effort in West Africa. President Mahama said, as a highly religious country, there is a need to exhibit the virtue of compassion. He assured Ghanaians that risk assessments have been done on the two Gitmo detainees and their stay will not pose any threat.
Leadership and popularity are not the same thing. And every so often in the course of leadership, one has to make decisions that are neither popular nor politically expedient. Such was the case during the 2014 Ebola outbreak in West Africa. As president, I took the decision to allow Ghana, specifically our capital city, Accra, to serve as the base of operations for the United Nations. There was anger and outrage and accusations that I was exposing our country to Ebola, that because of my decision, the virus would surely find its way across our borders and result in the loss of Ghanaian lives. But the alternative, to turn our back on our neighboring nations in their time of need, especially as the world was taking its time to respond, would have not only been insensitive, it would also have been inhumane.
GBC's Cecil Neobodai-Wentum posed a question that was critical to building the social fiber of the country. It had to do with government's plan for the aged population, as many of them have been neglected by their families.
One of the two things that has been done is that the ministry is targeting destitute old people, people who have been neglected and abandoned by family, and trying to assist them so that they're able to live a life of dignity. And so one of the target groups of the livelihood empowerment against poverty is old people who are destitute and abandoned. And what we're doing is bringing them onto the LEAP program and then giving them a cash transfer monthly so that they're able to look after themselves. Also heard about the Ebank card, which is a card that the Ministry of Gender has come out with. They so far registered 10,000 and they're going to continue to register. And they get this card, and this card is supposed to give them priority service in anything that they do. So if they go to the hospital and they produce a card, they are supposed to be given priority of place to receive treatment before we, the younger people and more, you know, physically agile people.
President Mahama changed the old order. Shortly after exchanging pleasantries, he invited questions from the media in a posture that suggested he had prepared well. For Radio Ghana, Pascaline Adadevo.
And the Law Shedding Committee is expected to brief the media today on the state of the power management and challenges. President Mahama disclosed this when he answered questions on the energy crisis. He said government intends to invest $100 million in ECG to improve its capacity and efficiency.
We need to plan our demand, forecast our demand, and plan generation to keep up with demand. And so what I intend to do is to fix the problem. And that is exactly what I've been working on. One of the major sectors that takes a lot of my time and attention is the power sector as president. And I must say that we have made a great effort, as close as we are, to solving the problem of Dumso. And I'm sure that for most people, from the Christmas time, you can see a very visible improvement in terms of supply. We still have a gap. We haven't closed the gap. But I believe that in the next short while, we'll be able to overcome the problem of load shedding. I've learned to leave it to the technical people to talk about. They're having a major press briefing. They're going to brief the press on the routine maintenance a trouble plant is going to go through. It is a scheduled maintenance, and so it means gas is going to stop flowing. So they have to retune the plants there to crude oil. And normally when the plants use crude oil, they are not as efficient, and so there can be any difficulty that arises. And so we just want Ghanaians to understand that this is what is going to happen. And I'm sure when they do that address, they will also tell you where we are currently in respect of resolving the power crisis permanently. It's estimated that we lose more than 25% of power. The power loss due to transmission should be below 15%. And so if we are losing 25 to 27% because people are not paying or people are stealing the power, then it means that you cannot collect enough money to pay the upstream generation companies. And that is why we need to restructure Electricity Company of Ghana. And under the NCC compact, it is targeted at restructuring ECG. And let me state emphatically that ECG is not being privatized. ECG is going to continue to be a public-owned company. It will be the owner of the equipment and logistics, the transformers and things are going to belong to ECG. But then we're putting in a system that allows the private sector to contribute to collection of revenue and responding to customers' complaints and so on and so forth. And the point is, it would end up employing more people than ECG can employ. So ECG will continue to exist. We're going to inject more than $100 million into ECG, and at the same time, we're going to get private sector participation as a concession in terms of revenue collection and response to customer complaints.
Yeah, President Mahama speaking at the media briefing yesterday.
Still on the energy sector, an energy expert, Kwame Gentua, says it is a shame that not much planning has gone into reversing the energy crisis facing Ghana. He said government is depending too much on people and burdening them with increments to defray its huge debts. Speaking on Behind the News, Mr. Gentua said it is about time other alternatives of energy generation were considered. These include mechanical barges and solar energy.
I think this is the time where government should sit and critically look at what we're doing with oil. Because the oil price, with what is going on in the world today, with Iran and Saudi Arabia, with China, with all these things happening, it's going to affect the oil price. And it's going to take quite some time for the oil price to now rise up again. And so, we should plan effectively where oil is concerned. If we are able to do that, perhaps in future, when we come to such a situation, we'll be able to say, and we are hoping that between now and 2020, and quite a number of oil fields will come into production, they would have enough oil to say a certain percentage of that crude we can take to tour and manufacture for ourselves so that Ghanaians would feel some benefit of the oil that we are producing in this country.
Well, as of now, that looks like a long-term solution. But as of now, we are faced with the issue of Dumso. And of course, we have to pay more. Right now, the public will have to pay more. And of course, government is also coming out with, interim solutions to it, with a power barge and private sector involvement in power generation, and of course, the revenue collection. What do you think is the way forward?
See, You see, from the word go, some of us had been shouting on top of the roof that yes, it's a good thing to have the power barges, it's a good thing to have IPPs in place, but the crux of it all is to be able to get the fuel. And the president said it, but the challenge now is to get the fuel, the gas, the LCO, to be able to fire these plants. I would have thought that today, President Mahama would have told us that, look, we have gone out, we have sourced $1 billion, we have sourced $2 billion, we have sourced $1 million, specifically to get the generation, the generating fuel to generate these plants. Because really and truly, down the road, if we face any cracks with the fuels that are generating these electricity through these plants, we are destined to do so. So I mean, the crux of it is how do we make sure that we sustain the fuel that we need to be able to fire these generation plants. Yes, it's a good thing. It's a good thing to have power plants. It's a good thing to have all these things. But we need to be able to fire them. I will also say that at this point, we need to think forward. Yes, we have mechanical badges. I'll call them mechanical badges because they are using a particular type of fuel to fuel them. I believe that this is the time for government and the country to sit down and begin to think about solar. Because you know, where solar is concerned, in Kenya today, they have got solar grids for different parts of the country. So in the urban areas, and I'll give a typical example, use Ghana as an example. Say Ghana was Kenya. You go to Dansoman, the Dansoman area has its own solar grid. You go to airport, it has its own solar grid. You go to West Lagos, has own solar grid. In different parts of the urban area, they have their own solar grid. So once that is working, we do not have to pay for the sun, at least. We need to pay for the maintenance, we need to pay for the batteries, but we do not have to pay for the sun. It's a free fuel.
Energy expert Kwame Gentia.
The president of the Ghana Catholic Bishops Conference, Right Reverend Joseph Osoibunsu, says he disagrees with President Mahama's stance that Ghanaians should show compassion to the two Guantanamo Bay detainees. He said it baffles him as to why government agreed to admit people with links to terrorist groups. Reacting to the media briefing by President Mahama yesterday, Right Reverend Osoibunsu said he will not accept the explanation by the president that the two detainees do not pose a threat to the country. He wondered why America, with all the sophisticated weapons and intelligence, refused to accommodate them since they claim the detainees are of low risk.
We are talking of national security. These are people who are arrested by the Americans because of their involvement in terrorism. They have been in prison for a long while, and now the Americans are telling us, oh, they're okay now, a low risk, and so Ghana should pay them. Why don't the Americans take them? America has made the law that none of those in Guantanamo can set foot in America, and so they have to send them elsewhere. And why should Ghana accept this, you know? So, and they're all over. These people have countries, so they could have been sent to their own countries. So why bring them to Ghana? Doesn't make sense to us.
This is a humanitarian gesture. I mean, can't we do that?
So they have a country. They have not been the president of Yemen hasn't said that they cannot come back there. So why bring them here? And as I said, America does not want such people in America. They have their reasons. They know they're terrorists. They have the political base, and they say they don't want them. Why should we accept them in Ghana? Part of all the studies we have done. There's no need for them to be in Ghana. Let them go to their own country because they have a country, and their president hasn't said that he doesn't want them there. If they were refugees, we'd accept them gladly. They're not refugees. They are people who have been accused of terrorism. If they've been cleared, fine. Let them go to their own country. I don't see why they should come to Ghana if it is low risk. Low risk or high risk. There's no need for Ghana to have them.
You say it's risky on security grounds, but the president is actually saying that this was done upon extensive consultation with the security agencies.
My point is, why bring them to Ghana? What are they going to do for us in Ghana? They can be in their own country. If they don't pose any risk, why don't they go to their own country? Why bring them to Ghana?
He was the president of the Ghana Catholic Bishops Conference, Right Reverend Joseph Osoibunsu, talking on behalf of the news.
The Executive Director of Media Foundation for West Africa, Suleiman Abraima, has commended President Mahama for deepening democracy by availing himself to the media to address issues bothering the nation. He said the president was on top of issues and was able to provide accurate answers to most of the questions asked by the media. Mr. Abraima was, however, not satisfied with the explanation President Mahama gave on the branding of the buses and the collection of monies from Alfred Woyome.
It's always good when the president makes himself available to be questioned on issues that bother citizens of the country. And I think that it's a commendable thing that the president subjects himself to such interaction with the media. I think it is not something that happens in many countries, particularly in many African countries. And therefore, I think, first of all, we need to commend that decision.
Were you satisfied about the way the president dealt with those questions?
Well, in some areas, I would say, well, to the extent that we were provided with information, first of all, the issue about the Guantanamo detainees, whether or not citizens have concerns, I think the president did well in terms of how he articulated the issues and how he tried to convince the state or the nation about the fears that we have and the fact that, look, we cannot be a country, you know, that lives in isolation from the global community. The fact that we are always under security threats, even if we don't have these people here, groups that are associated or individuals associated with various terrorist groups can get into the country and so on and so forth. And the most important thing being that our security are on top of issues. I think that I was quite satisfied with. Not to say that I don't have personal issues about the detainees, but I think that the president did well in responding to those concerns.
Looking at the pluses and minuses of this, how would you rate the president's performance overall?
Well, I think that there are many people in this country who, when they are given the same opportunity to respond to issues that they are in charge, they would be able to respond to them almost the same way as the president did. It is positive that the commander-in-chief of the armed forces, the president of the nation, agrees to speak to the media and say, ask me questions that you think are border on matters of concern to the public. And to that extent, I think that is a positive development. Of course, he is not the first president to do this, but of course, he could have decided that in my presidency, I wouldn't do that. So that is positive. But other than that, I think if you engage a minister or if you engage the Director General of GBC on matters relating to GBC, he would be able to respond to them the way the President did.
On the performance of the media, Mr. Brimer said the questions were generally on issues bothering most people in the country.
Well, I think, again, as a country, different people have different concerns. And so what may not be so significant to me in terms of a question may be what is on the heart of another person. But generally, I think that at this stage, one would say there are broad issues that many people are concerned about, our energy crisis, the recent developments around the Guantanamo Bay detainees who have been relocated to Ghana, issues about corruption significantly. And then people broadly also talked about security. And I think to the extent that the questions touched on, or some of the questions raised these issues, I think that I would say that was commendable on the part of the media, even though you would say that sometimes the way some of the questions are framed suggests as though, yes, it's a problem area, we know the opposition are concerned about this issue, or that is what they are hating the government so much about, and therefore we are giving you the opportunity to address it. I think these were questions that were framed in a way that really encapsulates the key issues that many people would feel are the important issues to deal with in our country today.
Executive Director of Media Foundation for West Africa, Suleimana Brahima. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories: government to set up citizens' complaint centers nationwide to receive reports from the public. Load shedding committee briefs media today on state of power management and challenges. Media expert commends President Mahama's performance at interaction on governance. UNICEF concern about number of South Sudan's children out of school. And President Barack Obama defends legacy in final State of the Union address. Do stay tuned.
Welcome back. An aspiring presidential candidate of the CPP, Joseph Ejiofor, says his top priority is to ensure that every Ghanaian citizen has access to basic social amenities of life. He explained that the provision of jobs for the teeming unemployed youth, providing sufficient power to boost economic activities, as well as eliminating maternal and child mortality, would be his major focus if the CPP wins this year's elections under his leadership. Mr. Ejiofor said this when he addressed CPP faithful at a ceremony in Accra to file his nomination as a presidential aspirant for the 2016 elections.
Interchange and the King Sakitaria overpass.
Kwame Nkrumah and Dr. Hilary Mann, one power for the Nkrumahized, no flag bearer of the tradition has been able to win even 5% of the popular vote in a general election, and said that trend must change now.
The Deputy Minister of Health, Dr. Victor Bampu, has charged contractors working on the second phase of the Family Teaching Hospital project to speed up work to help reduce pressure on the existing facilities. The project, which includes a state-of-the-art mortuary, newborn care unit, surgical block, maternity block, and oxygen treatment center, is expected to be completed in July 2018. This came to light when the Deputy Sector Minister paid a working visit to the hospital to inspect the project and interact with staff of the hospital. We bring you a news desk report.
The project, according to the contractor, is 20% complete and is expected to improve service delivery, teaching and research when completed. According to Dr. Bampu, the project is in line with government's efforts to improve effective health service delivery in the country. He said funding has been procured off the hillside that adequate measures have been put in to challenges facing the hospital. It has been instrumental in ensuring quality health service delivery as a tertiary facility. He said the hospital is currently facing inadequate staff accommodation and called on governments to come to their aid.
All is set for the conversion of Accra Polytechnic into a technical university starting this academic year. The rector of the Polytechnic, Professor Sylvester Achiu, said the conversion would put the school in a strategic position to train highly skilled human resource that would drive the nation's socio-economic development. He said all efforts are being made by management of the Polytechnic to ensure the smooth takeoff of the technical university in September. Professor Achiu made the disclosure in Accra at the formal signing of a memorandum of understanding between the Polytechnic